College basketball is experiencing its spring rush, the final regular season games and conference tournaments that will determine who gets invited to the NCAA's championship tournament, also known as March Madness. But most of the madness this week was off the court. Joining me now, as he does most Fridays, is Wall Street Journal sports writer Stefan Fatsis. Hello, Stefan.
Hey, Michelle.
Two scandals erupted this week, one at the University of Georgia and the other at St. Bonaventure University. Can you give us some details?
Sure. At Georgia, a former player accused the assistant coach, Jim Harrick Jr., who's the coach's son, of paying phone and hotel bills and giving him an A in a phys ed class that he never attended. The younger Harrick was first suspended and then fired. It's also worth noting that the kid that brought the allegations against the Harricks had somewhat of a checkered past himself. He was a bad recruit that followed Harrick to Georgia.
Bad news in Georgia. And at St. Bonaventure, they had some problems there also.
They did. The school allowed a player to transfer from a junior college without the necessary academic degree required by the NCAA. The player had a certificate in welding.
Welding?
Welding. The Atlantic 10 Conference forced St. Bonaventure to forfeit all its games in the conference, barred it from the postseason tournament. When that happened, the players decided they didn't want to finish the season. The school compounded the embarrassment by allowing the player's decision to stand.
Georgia is a big state school. St. Bonaventure, a small Catholic school in upstate New York, two very different institutions. So what does this say about college hoops?
Division I schools are equal opportunity cheats. Schools exploit players. Players exploit schools. Sometimes players rat when the deal goes bad. No one is shocked anymore by this sort of unqualified recruits, under-the-table payments. But this does reinforce a point being made by some academics about how big-money college sports can take over an institution. The reports from St. Bonaventure are that the coach went over the heads of the athletic director and the academic compliance officer and went straight to the university's president to get the junior college transfer admitted, and the president consented.
Turning pro after high school isn't looking like such a bad thing anymore.
The NBA used to be criticized for all of this, but now the conventional wisdom has started to go the other way. Almost all of the 30 or so teenagers who have come into the NBA since the mid-1990s have proven to be pretty good players and citizens. Kobe Bryant, Kevin Garnett. You've got younger players like Eddie Curry and Tyson Chandler of the Chicago Bulls, Kwame Brown of the Washington Wizards. They're all getting better and being good kids, good players. But we can also forget that there are a lot of kids out there for whom it didn't work out, left school early, and never made it to the NBA. So there are no absolutes. But for a few exceptional athletes, the NBA is looking like a better teacher of values and basketball skills than college.
A few weeks ago, we talked about another teen, a 17-year-old player from Yugoslavia, who was planning to petition to get into the NBA early. What happened with that case?
Now, that was Darko Milicic. He's projected to be the number two pick after high school star LeBron James in the NBA draft come June. The issue with Milicic was a fuzzy rule governing when foreign players are allowed into the league. Do they have to be 18 on draft day, or do they have to be 18 when they apply to come into the draft 45 days earlier? Commissioner David Stern took a look at it and realized that this was very ambiguous, decided to let the kid in, so he's going to be allowed to be drafted.
Now, all of this, the ruling by David Stern, the development of many of the teens in the NBA, this would seem to indicate that the league is softening its stance toward younger players.
Well, it's really not, though. Stern still wants to impose a minimum age requirement of 20, and that would be to discourage unqualified players from leaving school, and it would keep more veterans in the league, to keep the league better. But the league and the players' union are now talking about extending their collective bargaining agreement, and a minimum age requirement does seem to be something that's on the table and likely to be adopted.
Thank you, Stefan.
Thanks, Michelle.
Stefan Fatsis covers the business of sports for The Wall Street Journal.